settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. For those who are with us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week, Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to bring us knowledge and information that will benefit us all. And this week's show is part four on our reincarnation program. And today we're live, folks, as usual, interactive as usual, and if you've got a question relating to our subject, it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. Canada, it's 888-810-8322. And if there is an international caller that happens to be up and about, it's 001-530-876-3222.
As well as Spirit's Work here on the fabulous bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we've got another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs or book an Akashic reading or any of the other services that we've got, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. What?
And that was Mick, by the way. Go on.
Thank you very much. So anyway, as Sylvie said, I am a deep trance medium, which is probably just as well, because then you don't get me trying to speak in the middle of it. Anyway, it means, dear friends, that I am a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication for those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. Of course, they look after me quite well. In this way, each of our shows, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom. And as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means, of course, having choices and options perhaps many of us never realized were available to us. When I go into the deep trance state, I won't know of anything that happens until they bring me back. So that is the end of my piece now, which is probably just as well.
Okay.
So I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mick.
Goodbye.
Okay. It's really funny because I have told listeners before, but just in case this is new to you, before Mick does his deep trance, he basically, his brain, he just starts winding down. The energy starts drawing close to him, and he really does become quite...
I turn into a gibbering fool.
Yes, and you shouldn't be listening to this because you're going off now. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
I just thought I'd put that in.
Okay, so, yes. So everybody will know when it's Gregory, believe me, okay? Anyway, sometime after Gregory's physical death in 1723, Gregory was asked if he would like to train to be the representative of this education group, the White Cloud Group, who were going to be helping the people of the Earth discover a more harmonious way of life and hopefully understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and aid us on a road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet in the process, hopefully. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists, and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet, and of course those who wish to come after us, who haven't had a physical life yet. We don't follow any religious bias or have any political persuasions and believe in everyone's right to their own way of thinking. So really this show is about spiritual guidance. We don't do readings, but we do encourage and look forward to any phone calls that we have from our listeners about if basically what we're talking about, if you want to join in with us on the show. And as I say every week, if you have a suggestion for a show topic that you'd like us to cover, please do get in touch with us. Either just go to our website, which is spirit-teaching.com, and you'll find our email there, which is enq@spirit-teaching.com. Okay, and do you believe Gregory's with us now?
Hello, friend.
Hi.
Hello, friend. Yes, with love and light, as always, dear friend.
Thank you. So, part four of our regression, or should we say reincarnation program. We've gone through... Hello? Oh. Hello? No, maybe that was just a...
Caller?
Oh, hello?
Caller? Caller? I'm going to pull him off the air and give him a reprimand and be right back.
Okay.
Well, friend.
Yeah, so basically, our first week, you were talking about how, just as a quick synopsis, how we can sometimes feel that we've had a previous life because we maybe have vivid memories of... somebody else's life in our soul group, it turns out it could be. Week two was maybe we were a doorkeeper or helper to somebody having their physical life prior to us having our life, and then we have a vivid memory of something that happened to them and think that it's us.
Yes.
Okay. And then last week we had, you said that it could be cellular memory.
Yes, ancestral cellular memory.
Mm. And basically that it can be as vivid as and real that we would think that it was our own life.
Of course, because everyone is related, whether you like that idea or not. All tribes are related.
Okay, so this week we're going to move on, and I believe you have some new theories.
Oh, yes, quite so.
Okay.
So the situation then is perhaps about indivisibility. This is the situation where you will have a number of beings in the spirit world, perhaps, who move together in such a way as understand that there will be a prime energy who will be involved in the physical life, and there will be other energies, perhaps, and usually from the same soul group, who are also wanting to interact with that physical life in a very positive way. So you may call it yourselves as though a person has a multiplicit personality, a multifaceted aspect of themselves, when in actual fact what you are experiencing are completely individual, different individual beings who are sharing the physical life. Now, it has actually been known from time to time that some human beings experience the complete transmigration of one spirit to with another in this process. It is very unusual and really is a situation which some people may find very disturbing. What actually happens in this state of indivisibility is that perhaps the first individual, the one who is the primal journey being, having that experience, is actually perhaps, after so many years, wants to take a back seat upon that journey, or maybe even, in very rare cases, extremely rare cases, migrate back to the spirit world and leave a different spirit in charge of that physical body. So, of course, what would you think would happen in that situation is actually what does happen in that situation. And you would have a complete and utter change of personality of the individual from one form and knowing all of the characteristics and all of that life up to that point, and then a completely different form, which case they would not necessarily have to learn everything all over again because they would have been present while the first occupant, the first being from the spirit world, contains that aspect of physical life. And then actually what happens is that they take over from that physical life experience that spirit has had and quite simply continue with the journey. It, as I say, is very unusual. You may alternatively have situations of life where, as I say, there are many other different beings who actually congregate together in effect sharing that physical life. The whole situation is displayed really by this different formation of knowledge which appears to arise up from nowhere. In particular, it is not explainable in the physical expression. What I mean by this is that you would actually have a human being who perhaps is only versed in a certain mechanic of their life, if you like. They are only versed with a certain knowledge aspect of their life. Perhaps they only speak one specific language as really a test way of explaining what actually happens, what transpires with the physical being itself. How does that physical being respond to a multifaceted personality of indivisibility, that is, many, many beings, perhaps even four or five or more, all being a part of and contributing to the physical state of reality for that physical being. So what you would actually have then, perhaps we will stick with language for this moment, that what you would actually have is that suddenly the being would be able to talk in a completely different language consciously, that is, without going into any altered states or anything like that. As I said, this is extremely rare. Or perhaps they may actually exhibit the presence of this individual, this other altered individual, simply by perhaps writing or something like that, or it just being something of the character which only appears at times. So it may be that the person writes in a completely different way, in some way which is not characteristic with the human life form. What you are then experiencing are different and altered states, possibly, which may enhance this situation. It may be, after all, that the person perhaps sinks into a form of altered state which allows them to write automatically or something like that, almost absent-mindedly. I'm not saying that that would mean then that you have mediums perhaps on your side of life who regularly go into altered states and perhaps bring about or orchestrate within themselves a connection with spirit, bringing about automatic writing. Most of those situations are not to do with indivisibility, but are actually to do with spirit contact. Now, indivisibility itself is surely the understanding that there is no difference between different beings, even though they are different forms but in one body. So you may actually feel as though you are one single being, because the blending within all of these beings is so exact and so particular, so harmonic, that actually what is happening is that you are only really experiencing it as one individual life. You do not necessarily know or are aware that there are actual individuals present to do with this life.
So are you saying that this was... Okay. If you arrange this...
Yes.
Would you pick... You would arrange this before you came, and you would pick and make this arrangement with how many? How many is it possible to do this with?
Oh, yes, quite so. I am saying, however, as well, that it isn't necessarily that all of the beings included in this life experience will actually be cognizant. They will not necessarily express it in words. They won't necessarily even bring thoughts there. They may just really be in the background, as energy in the background, taking notes, perhaps, or something like that.
Yes, and obviously the person who is the main, how should we say?
The main embodiment,
yes,
perhaps.
Yes, absolutely, yes. The main character and personality won't remember that, just like we don't remember what we did and arrangements we made before we came here.
That is true.
They won't remember that either. So it could be quite disturbing to them then if it was not, if they didn't blend personality-wise particularly.
Yes. The point is, however, that you have to realize that the chances of that happening are very remote, quite simply because all of the beings are usually from the same soul group, in which case the blending is imperfection. So that is, I suppose you could say, why it may be that a person's character may actually not even change. You may not even notice that there is a difference. So perhaps you may have someone who even maybe has all these different faculties to themselves. And yes, it may well be that the person has brought about this definition of themselves because they are exhibiting their relationship with their spirit. Perhaps it is that they are actually further along the pathway. So they have remembered a great deal of detail from their life in the spirit world and continue to sound it in their physical life. And so perhaps you may have this being who is a multifaceted personality, someone who actually has many gifts and realizes the gifts that they have and actually displays them, brings them about, perhaps being an incredible musician and artist and writer and all of these other things, just a very prolific and creative being. This does not necessarily have to display itself as being something detrimental, and very rarely is detrimental. You may have situations, however, where the human being cannot handle the situation, perhaps, and at that time they may well be perhaps committed in some way to some form of internment.
Some sort of medical help or whatever.
Yes, quite so.
Yes, well, because presumably, you know, you can't alter the pressures and strains of the other things that are going on in their life that might tip them over the edge in a different way, if you know what I mean.
Quite so,
not
yes.
Not necessarily because of that.
Into instability, yes.
So, well, could this be, hear about the indigo children, crystal children, and that sort of thing. So, on the odd occasion, I presume that this could be a theory of that as well?
Well, most certainly it can be a part of that. Do not forget, of course, that the situation with children who are spiritually aware, perhaps who are gravitated to very specific tasks and appear as though they have always done them, may well be because they have always done them, or may well be because they have brought situations from their life in the spirit world. Not that they have had to have thousands of reincarnations in order to bring this about, but in actual fact that it is just a part of their eternal conscious life. And for no other reason is a gift in itself.
But an indigo child actually could also be a result of one of the other things as well.
Absolutely, of course, yes. And that is our point, really, that all of these situations and descriptions can adequately bring you to face the fact that of feeling as a physical being that you have had a past life doing this or doing that. Yes, you have, but not necessarily in the way that you assume. It is because assumptions are made, rash assumptions are made, oh, that it must be this, because it fits a religious theory, merely helps you to perhaps not express explore any further the actual reality of the situation, because perhaps you've been told by a medium or whatever that you have had so many hundred past lives, or that you can name this one or that one. Well, it doesn't really come to mean that that was your life. And as we have explained, there are many other reasons for these feelings that human beings have. And I'm not here to bring about, to depart people from the rational truth of what exists in physical life. We are only interested in factual analysis, scientific research and survey of the very facets of the spirit world.
Well, it's such a narrow idea anyway, isn't it, really? I mean, I think people do grasp, they like to grasp hold of the theory of reincarnation because it makes them feel safe and takes the fear out of dying and that sort of thing. Well, there's plenty of reasons for it, but if only they knew the vastness of what is there and what it could possibly be.
Oceanic mass of the spirit world is so vast. You are like a speck upon the ocean. And all of that rich tapestry of understanding and information partly has been with you all your life. And part of it is not remembered by you. And for some of you, you remember even less and less and less. And the more negative you become, the less you remember.
It's like visiting a pinhead, isn't it, really?
You know, yes.
It's a wonderful pinhead, and we love the world, and we want to save it, but, you know, let's save it for the other people that haven't been here. And
for rational and scientific reasons, not for pseudo-scientific displays of irrational behavior.
Okay, well, I'd like to say thank you for anybody that might have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about the theories of reincarnation. If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. Okay. So, what about, how does this fit in with Shining Ones?
Yes. Well, a Shining One, and once again, this is a very rare opportunity to be with a being who is of pure light. And I dare say that there will be many who will have the egotistical whim to understand, perhaps, that they are a shining one. Well, why not? My point, really, is that for the energy of a shining one, they would very rarely have a physical human existence, or any form of physical existence. Perhaps this may be something which is done just once in their entire span of eternity.
What, anywhere, you mean?
Anywhere at all, yes. The reason for this is because the motivation behind a shining one is absolute pure love. Something perhaps which is not transcended, not brought about into the conscious activity through human physical value or through any other form of physical value. Which is actually why there are many millions and billions of beings in the spirit world who actually will never have a physical life at all. Because it is seen as, by some, as being a step backward.
Well, it can so easily be, can't it?
Of course, because you are prey to all of these negative situations that you have to overcome, which slow the rate of vibration of the individual, albeit for only a temporary state. Anyway, I digress. So a shining one is a being of pure and absolute love. Does this mean that the shining one does not hate? Yes. It means that the shining one will embrace all things, no matter what they are. A shining one, after all, is capable of creating worlds, that is, creating a dimension. A shining one is able to create a space of being which will interact and be home and harbor to a specific species of spirit, of those spirit who are attracted to or attached to physical embodiments of a certain form that are a part of God, a part of that expression, if you like. Not, however, an expression of fate, like some animals could be perhaps lesser or negatively displaced, and therefore, well, they must be retrograde in their thinking or in their conscious ability. That is merely, usually, the way in which a human being would place the understanding of their ascension status with regard to any other physical life form, or perhaps any other life form in the spirit world. There are beings, after all, who in physical life seem to have the opinion that all animals in the spirit world are shepherded and herded along by beast masters, human beings who have had a physical life, who are in the spirit world and who shepherd these beings around and perhaps permit them to go and make visitation with a human being. I'm talking, of course, about perhaps your beloved pet or something like that. You've maybe often heard of it, oh, that's a beast master that's allowed this animal to come close to you. Again, complete rubbish.
You do have humans interacting with animals, though, don't you?
Of course you do, but they are not beast masters.
No, and they're not in charge, exactly.
Indeed not. You would have, perhaps, the harmonic layering and the spiritual enlightenment of perhaps one particular species. We'll say a bear.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole species of bear and the whole bear family from a specific planet will actually have a shining one who is partly responsible for that enclave of life experience. And those spirits who are attracted and a part of the eternal existence are willing to want to display that aspect of form. Why do they do that? Because spirit want to have creative experience. That is the reason. The reason why spirit want to have creative experience is because a spirit is a part of God. And that is what the creation of all things is. In being now, in being at any time, past or present, future, in any dimensional state. So, a shining one is responsible for that energy, perhaps caring for that energy with their divine presence and love. Not bestowing it as though doling out some sort of refreshment, but actually cradling it, being protective, and offering a shelter, a home, for that vibration of being, so that in the spirit world they may grow and be more, create more than one had in the physical life, create more than those spirit had before that physical life. All is a wealth of experience, and all comes to eventually help the shining one even further along their pathway, as they will help all of those spirit who are around them.
When you when the animal goes back to the spirit world,
yes.
Like say, for instance, it's a horse that's had a short life, or well, any life, but it basically, does the Shining One create grass and pasture and that sort of thing? Does it go back to something that it's just left?
Oh, yes.
Like you say, human happens to humans.
Absolutely, yes, yes. So it will have exactly and be in exactly the nature in which it was born, but that will be a nature which will be enhanced. So you will have horses who live on grass and whales that swim in the sea, but who also swim in the sky as well, because they have a greater range for their possibility. Horses will come by in clouds of beings in spirit world.
Really?
You may see 3,000-4,000 horses in one cloud. And they, at times, will appear as though they are on the surface of what you are experiencing, and at other times will be streaking across the prospective vista that you are a part of.
Okay.
Like birds in the setting sun.
Mm-hmm. Because I think people have this vision of when animals in the spirit world as of them being in their individual little area and that not mixing with...
And that they're held there.
Yes, exactly, yes.
But that is not so.
No, like going to the zoo or whatever.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Mummy, there is an orangutan or whatever.
Yes, so they do mix with everybody else, but it's just not in the context that you might expect. Them.
Yes, they do mix, but only within the vibration which allows them. So I'm not saying that they are only allowed to mix with certain beings, but that other animals perhaps, or other beings, human beings, they are animals too, if they have negative streaks or negative attention or attraction to them, if their vibration is lower, they will not experience it. Anyway, we digress.
Yes, we did, yes.
So the situation then for a being of Shining One status is that they are all perception of the whole climate of reason in your physical life and in the spirit world. So if you perhaps are from the soul group of Arcania, it will be that the Shining One is of an arc reasoning, that Shining One actually has a perception of self far beyond the understanding of knowing that all the sum total of all those beings may perceive. Or it may be that Shining One actually orchestrates the perceptions that people have. That doesn't mean to say that they're all like sheep, but that it does mean that perhaps it is a part of the central focus of that character to actually display themselves in that way. This does not mean, as I say, that these are all lives which are rejuvenating one another or leaping over one another in order to actually have an experience. It doesn't work like that at all.
Okay. So when you are doing indivisibility, when you're being indivisible...
Yes.
Because I know you do it.
You are like the facets of a diamond.
Okay, right.
Like the many shards which make up a diamond. You are looking at different aspects of the whole. So when you are looking at someone who is indivisible or in a state of indivisibility, you are looking as though at a whole being who are displaying many faceted aspects of themselves, of their unique state of creativity, of creation, of perhaps even thoughts, of the display of different realms of reasoning within that particular being can be diametrically opposed, polarity apart.
How can anybody, can everybody see that when somebody's doing it? I mean, what does it look
yes,
like?
Absolutely.
How do you know if you're speaking to... I mean, how do you know when you're interacting with somebody that is being indivisible at the time?
Because the state of that being is such that they are actually... Their, skin becomes luminescent.
Ah, right, okay.
So it is a fairly telltale sign.
Right, so you know, okay.
Almost, I suppose you could say that for some people, they experience whilst they are in this state, and it may not, of course, be a state that exists continuously or consciously, but it may well be that it is just something that they move in and out of. During that time, whilst in that state, they will be in a pure state of bliss.
And what about, okay, because you do it, when you're being indivisible, you can maybe be doing half a dozen things in different places, parts of the world, or even in the spirit world here, another planet, whatever. You can be doing different things.
Yes, or interdimensionally.
Yes. How do you feel? Do you feel that you're more in one place than another?
Well, yes, absolutely so, of course.
So
it will depend upon the strength of energy and the situation at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that perhaps is brought about? If it is that a facet of my energy is needed elsewhere, perhaps for some form of emergency, then that will be attended to or dealt with. Perhaps not necessarily would it be that it will be the whole facet of that energy, but perhaps it may be handled by somebody else, by another energy within the group. And that they actually use a facet of your energy, a borrowed facet of your energy, in order to tend to the problem.
Okay.
Do you see?
Yes.
Vaguely.
Well, I do, but, you know, like...
Yes, I understand.
But do you feel personally that, like, we would feel inept?
I do not feel as though I'm coming apart.
No, this is it. You don't feel that you're...
Split at the seams.
Weaker. You're more vulnerable in doing the one thing than the other.
No, absolutely not.
You can't feel that you're 100% in one situation.
No, because that is really the human description and way of looking at something which is whole. It is not as though you are actually peeling an onion and you're looking at all the parts inside of it. You're not peeling an orange and seeing the different segments displayed.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the physical human idea, but the point we are trying to make here is that means then that if you take a piece of the orange and you eat it, you are only eating one segment. Are the other segments necessarily aware that you've just eaten one of them? Or does it actually mean that they are equally aware of their own identity? And when you have someone who is indivisible in the way of perhaps having different personalities controlled within the one physical state, you are actually experiencing no difference between when a situation of a personality is present or is not present. So if that other aspect of personality moves to a different dimension for a while, it will be that the character of that human being is no less visible. So I do not necessarily feel dejected or less of a being if I am dealing with something else at the same time that I am speaking to you.
You know, you were saying earlier on about that not everybody wants to have a physical life. Through fear of lowering their vibration if they come here.
Well, not really through fear of lowering their vibration, but just really because they acknowledge all of the other beings who are having a physical life. They are giving them love, of course, at the time when they pass and come back to the spirit world.
Yes, but they don't want to... Yes, but...
But they don't have to go through with it.
Well, exactly.
Exactly the same, my friend, as my point about that just because you acknowledge and see and experience a human life form being run over by a bus doesn't mean to say that you have to go through that experience in order to know what it feels
no,
like.
But it...
Because you can see
it,
obviously.
But if you are actually... hoping to be ascended, shall we say. I know we hate that word, but if you're hoping to climb the ladder of life in the spirit world, then surely it's cheating not to go through the things that are difficult.
Yes, I understand that. But my point, really, is that you do go through those things. You do not have to actually go through it personally in a physical way in order to understand what it feels like.
I know, but you're not making that decision. You're not making that judgment of being whether to be a good person or a bad person like we are continually here and put in a negative situation, the murky soup world that we live in.
Yes, because we do not actually make that as a form of judgment upon one another in the spirit world. So what we see as a control of the physical state means that in the spirit world it is absent from that control. So all you are doing and experiencing as a physical human being after you have passed, perhaps, shall we say, from being run over by a bus, is that the being is bringing out that experience to the rest of the soul group of which they are a part. And by giving such pure and evidence of love and purity to that being to help them to overcome the distress and or the situation of that telling of the story means quite simply that you are experiencing it too. Because that is what love is.
Yes, I know you are experiencing it, but you're not likely to make the mistake, are you? That's what I'm trying to say. It's a bit
like... Yes, but I'm saying, though, friend, it's not necessarily a conscious decision by a physical being to want to make a specific mistake. You do not want to get run over by a bus. You don't want to get hit by anybody else.
But that's like, you know, well, don't come here, and then you won't make a mistake.
Yes, but I'm saying that it isn't necessarily about one person who is going through that problem and that situation who is making a mistake. It's actually down to somebody else who is creating it for you, perhaps unwittingly, but is creating it nonetheless.
Well, I know.
So actually what you are perhaps going through in the spirit world is not that you do not want to have that experience, but you have all of the experience you wish to create with in giving love to all of these other beings who have had a physical experience. So you don't actually need to go through it. That is just the human assumption that everyone has to go through.
Yes, I'm not saying you have to go through it. All I'm saying is it's a bit like being a monk or a nun or something, you know, and you just spend all your time praying and giving love and just being, you know...
And abstaining from physical life.
Well, exactly.
Really.
I mean, you know, we'd all be squeaky clean and perfect, wouldn't we, if we lived like that?
But even monks who do that are not squeaky clean
and
perfect.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Gregory.
Well, no, perhaps not.
But, you know, I mean, it's cheating, I reckon.
Oh, come now, friend.
Okay.
It is merely a situation that beings in the spirit world do not have to go through. This is an elected state of being. Physical life is an elected state.
For the brave.
For whoever.
For the foolhardy.
Maybe. For whoever wants to do it. I did it.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, everybody, if you've got a number, if you've got a question for Gregory, do join in. It's free in the US, 877-876-5227, and Canada, 888-810-8322.
I understand you have a last point that you perhaps wish to discuss with me.
Do I? Which one?
Or have we covered them all, friend?
Twin soul.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So what then of a twin soul?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, it may well be that some people feel that perhaps with a pair of, shall we say, identical twins who actually think alike and who may actually experience their journey as though one being, you may have a situation where one twin is so incomplete without the other, even though they may be even in different countries, that their communication ability telepathically, psychically, call it what you will, we would prefer to call it spirit telepathy, which merely means that what you are doing is communicating through your spirit to one another. And you are almost as though not necessarily behaving as one being, because perhaps you have certain facets of your character which are different to one another, but actually what you are experiencing even may be illuminations from one another's journey. So you actually perhaps have in your dream state situations of meeting one another in the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
And you may well swap parts of your journey with each other and say, oh, yes, I did this today, and actually bring about that journey for that being. And so it may well be that you are almost as though you are one person being split into two physical beings. But that actually is not usually the case. With identical twins, true identical twins, you will actually be two spirit from the same soul group. And you will actually be in that situation, even though one was born before the other. Obviously, you didn't actually come out at the same time, but you were conceived at the same time, and at the same time, spirit joined your physical state tentatively, as though it was. It was still that joining, that situation, which came about from the same soul group, exactly the same. So your ability to create harmony together is pure.
Oh, I got
hello, caller. Hello. Hello.
I apologize for that.
Okay.
That might have been me who dropped him. I was trying to get him off to tell him to turn down the back end noise.
Oh.
They'll probably call back.
All right.
Thank you.
They will. Thank you, friend.
Okay. What was the last thing you said? I can't remember now. Okay. Oh. About twins.
Yes, quite so. Shall I continue?
Yes.
I'm just playing with you, really. Why? Why not, friend? I am enjoying myself.
Yeah. Okay. So twin souls, yes.
The energy, you see, it is so good.
It is, yes.
Yes. And I almost feel as though I'm having a physical life again.
Okay.
So the situation with twin souls.
Yes.
And absolutely be as though you are two people, yes, but two people so intrinsically entwined with one another's situation, mm-hmm. and so in tune with one another's situation, that is something, some form of energy that you rarely accomplish in physical life. And that is purely because it isn't as though you are meeting someone else in an encounter, someone else from your own soul group, which means that you have this beautifying experience. But that
Hello?
In fact, if
okay.
I just may finish
okay.
for one moment, but that in fact what you are doing is you are experiencing the absolute purity of being in that soul group in physical form. Yes, friend.
Hello?
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 Hello, friend.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, I have some questions about this. I feel very connected with the topic. I believe I may have a twin that's on Earth, and I have another person.
Excuse me. Hello.
Can
Do you,
you
think
hear
you
me?
Could speak a little clearer or nearer to
okay,
the microphone?
Okay, I believe I may have a twin on Earth.
You have a twin on Earth, Ben?
Yeah, that I was told about this a long time ago, a number of years ago.
Yes, So let me just stop you for a moment. This is would be someone from a different family who is actually a soul twin to you.
Really?
Yes.
I see. So from a different soul group is what you're saying?
No, I am saying perhaps someone from the same soul group, and this may be even a being who physically may look exactly the same as you as well. This is no coincidence.
Oh, okay. Well, do they have the same name, perhaps?
Not necessarily, but will actually think and identify in exactly the same way that you are, partly because they are from your same soul group, but also my friend. It can be that at times there are genetic systems and situations where genetically it will just become that you are, as it were, repeated somewhere else. I understand that some people in physical life think that they are a reincarnation of some other being who perhaps lived some 50 or 100 years ago. And simply because they look exactly as though they are a carbon copy, you could put one picture of one person on, transpose them onto the picture of another person, this other one who lived perhaps 100 years ago, and you both look identical. This is about the situation of genetic transference.
A situation, perhaps, okay, theoretically, you know, of someone who looks just like me with the same name, who passed over into the spirit world, who was alive for 3 years and knows someone else living in the nail.
Yes, well, my friend, the situation I cannot actually quantify with you is the specific name or target that you identify. What I'm saying to you that it is possible. It isn't something in the realms of never to be done, because you can never say never in the spirit world, and in fact you can never say never within physical genetics either, because the mutation of physical beings is such that there are bound to be replicants at times, on occasion.
Could this sometimes be referred to as multiple in different bodies, or a double, or something like this, in terms of earthly kind of understanding of such phenomena? Or is that from a limited viewpoint?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
The point is, I suppose, that is to be very careful not to look at things from a limited viewpoint, but also to be very careful not to try to embrace everything in that that all things are possible. Of course they are possible, but it may well be that your identity will usually never be repeated. You will not be the same as this other being, because your history and your identity is singular, is individual. Otherwise, you wouldn't be the individual that you are, different from everyone else. Your situation, my friend, in your family life, all of the relationships that you have had, or all of the situations and pictures you have experienced are part of your environment, Harmony, part of the way in which you transcend across the physical landscape of time. That is a part of your individual uniqueness, which will be consistent with your spirit once you pass to our side of life. And that difference will still be there, even with another being who perhaps is a look-alike to you physically, and even may have very similar characteristics. But there will be these individual unique steps which are complete and absolutely irreversible to any other life form.
Okay.
Okay, well...
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
With love and light, friend. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm not sure if it's, Don's got another show after this. Maybe he could come on and tell us.
No. There is no show after this, so...
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Master's voice speaks.
do you want to ask Gregory anything?
How are you doing? It's just such a pleasure. it is. You know, so much information and data from so many sources. I'm just trying to sort it all, soak it up, and kind of feel what rings true and what doesn't.
Absolutely.
I'm happy. I don't know what to ask.
Okay.
It's one of those periods in my life where I'm almost either afraid to ask or I don't know.
Well, the point is, my friend, of course, that you can become overloaded with information, perhaps because in trying to sift through objects, if you like, because that is how information comes, as though it is an object, an object lesson, perhaps, in what it is you're supposed to do with the information. Are you actually supposed to keep it, retain it, shelve it or put it in the bin.
Exactly.
Are you actually supposed to think and view the information that you have and take it upon yourself as a personal responsibility, or is it a liability that will actually send you into the realms of oblivion? So the problem that human beings have is in actually disseminating facts from fiction, using scientific basis of repeated experience, not necessarily repeated from one person to another person, because they may actually be in default of their own experience, perhaps because they have already been indoctrinated by that experience. And perhaps having reached a specific answer to that theory or puzzle, that they no longer search for it, no longer are accepting of any other point of view. Why, my friend, we have even had it that individuals have become aggressively incensed toward our particular group and to what we have to say, almost with the same aggression that you would from one religion to another in their mission-driven status in trying to defend their point of view, saying you are even perhaps to such an aggressive state that peace and love is omitted from their life. This surely, then, is where the realm of spirituality moves away from religious intensity and indoctrination. So if you actually have a thought or a feeling that you have had some form of past physical life, what we are saying to you is, if you want to accept that reincarnation is a fact in your life, so be it. Turn off. Don't ask anything else. Don't step outside of your little box and realm of possibility that you have created for yourself, because that is all you can cope with, evidently.
You know, see, I love what you're saying. I think it more comes in my case. It's that I want to be everything and anything absolutely that I can be, the absolute pinnacle. I'd like to graduate from here with flying colors and say, you know, that was the greatest experience, and here I can share it with everyone and just and really have fun with it. And I guess I don't really it would. You know, there's a lot of things you hear, I guess, being in a position that I'm in, and a lot of people say a lot of things, and that always tracks your mind and makes you wonder who and what you are, and me, I would love to know exactly who I am and where I come from and what past lives I've led and know the timeline from A to Z from eternity on. Yes, absolutely. But I guess that's going to come in very short time.
Yes.
Between now and then.
And the point is that there is no timeline, because that is only the sum total of the experience that you delve into at that moment of your physical life. It isn't something which is of importance in the spirit world, because time is not an opinion. It
Yes.
is a state of, I must do this by this moment.
Right.
Because there isn't a moment that you have to do it by.
You know, I sometimes, Gregory, I get very weird impressions. I have been for maybe a month. They're just weird sensations that I have. I recognize them and I don't. They feel familiar and they don't. There's information coming in a weird way and I understand it sometimes and I don't. It's just, I don't know how to explain it. You'll be different sensations, different feelings of timelessness, moving out, the different realms, being multidimensional, and it's just very odd sensations.
The problem you are experiencing, friend, that many people experience, is in attempting as a physical being to grasp what is, when in fact all you need to do is bathe in the experience and accept the inevitable
Yes, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to let the information soak in, and eventually I think I get what I need.
Well, exactly so. So you bathe in those things, in those energies that become a part of you, even if those energies are only there for a moment or two.
Yes.
Only if the experience is brief. That is just because it is your opinion of the time. Oh, I love that. I want it back again.
Right.
I want it back again. I'm missing that experience. No, you're not, because you've already dealt with it.
Yeah.
You've had it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean to say that just because the experience was short, that it is any less beautiful or any less significant to your soul caring, to your absolute joy of your experience.
Interesting point. That leaves a lot to contemplate, because really, I can see how any instant can be as full and rich as any lifetime.
Yes, it is only the perception of how you experience it. What do you do with it? Do you look at it as a voyeur, or do you actually immerse yourself within that experience and bring that experience to your whole persona? If you really feel that is your motivation to experience beyond all other things, everything that comes to your notice, then in part you are going to have a hard time of your physical life, because you are actually going to be pulled this way and that way, and then have difficulty in trying to make sense of the particles that you have in front of you.
Yes.
So that is why I'm saying to you that rather than trying to soak up and be attracted to certain things, perhaps, you as a human being will disseminate certain parts of what is happening to your life and feel that they are, as it were, waste paper in the bucket. And other experiences you will identify readily, because they will bring a glow to your experience. Actually infuse it with bliss, with a state of perfection.
Yeah, so we leave
that
behind.
That is something which will obviously generate and create for you further energy and experience to occupy your life, and for you to live that life to a more fuller expression of your personality.
Well, I've heard, now there has been, and this is kind of brings up in the reincarnation thing that you were touching on earlier, and we do have a caller here, I'll put him right on.
Yes.
But before I put him on, I want, if I could get you to answer this question, and I don't know what to make of it, but there is, of course, raw channelings of, and they explain about reincarnation, and then, of course, after the end, or I guess the revealing, or end times, or Armageddon, or the new beginning, or whatever you want to call it, there's waves of ascensions. And the first wave happens in 2008, the second around 2012, then the third around 2016, I think. And they have 30,000 people going out on the first wave, or they think that's what Spirit says at about this time. And when they leave, they'll come back at various different times with a different perception. They'll be changed completely. Now, there's also been information by somebody that I really enjoy, and I like the information that they get, and I was listening to a recent one that again emphasized this. So I was just wondering if you could illuminate that any further, and during that I'll put the next guy on the air, and thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure. And please, close up whenever you want. I love this show, and you have no one on after you, so.
Great.
You bet.
Okay.
Thank you, Gregory. Thank you, Sylvie.
Thank you. So, the point then is this wave of ascensionism. Unfortunately, as I say, once again, many beings are gravitating towards this feeling of pure light experience as being the only possible pathway for human existence to actually come to and gravitate toward, not necessarily the spirit world, but some archangel or whatever who appears to be supplying the energy. This means, then, that you are subverting your own life for this experience. It doesn't necessarily mean to say that just because you do have this experience, that you are then enlightening your mind. You may well gain knowledge from such an experience of perhaps journeying within your meditative practice, or, as some would have it, going en masse with a bunch of other people, with a mass of other people, a conglomeration of 20,000 souls. If this were actually plausible or a reality of physical life, you only have that person's say-so or well-being or knowledge of that situation. So does that mean to say then that if I am not adhering to that group theory, that I am of a lesser being? That is probably what individuals would say, because they do not want anyone to usurp their thoughts or their parameter of what they've already stated, because they've stated it as fact, unprovable, yet fact. What I have to say, then, is that there may be beings who in the physical side of life, through their spirituality and their gift of connection with the spirit world and with their own spirit consciousness, that they are able to gather with many others, perhaps, even in different localities across the planet, and actually connect in a telepathic way to be on a journey with each other. And what they are doing is actually bringing together that journey, unifying that experience, and celebrating that experience of oneness within that journey. So, are we saying that these beings are automatically going to be ascended from that journey? Will their experience bring to them any new highs? Yes, surely they will be in a state of bliss from their experience, as anyone can be, just the same in the physical dimension, having a singularity experience of monumentous proportions of their own divination to do with their meditational practice. You are possibly a being in a state of pure perfection and bliss, perfect enlightenment. Can you honestly say that you would have to go on this specific journey in order to become ascended, in order to have transgressed from the negative you into this positive, beautiful, blissful you, which then appears to carry on with physical life, perhaps with additional properties, healing gifts, and all of the other realm of possibility which may be open to you? Yes, that may be the trigger for that life. It may well be the corresponding link that you needed as a physical being to augment your life with your spirit energy.
I wonder why there's always a limit to how many people can do these things.
It beats me, friend, because there is actually no limit. That is really just a suggestion by these individuals that, oh, we are in this little band of followers. It is just like a religious sect being that, oh, we will take this sentence out of the Bible or the Quran or whatever book it is and say, beat ourselves over the chest, hit our heads on lampposts or doorways, whatever it is that gets you off, that makes you align yourself from your physical state to your spiritual identity. That identity makes you identify with other people of the same ingenuity, the same likeness, the same energy. That means, does it not, that you are transcended upon all other mortal, mere mortal beings. And that, for me, is a mistake, because it loses the identity of self and the possibility that even the person, the poor individual who lives down the road, who lives in but a shack, or a tent, or is not very bright in their understanding, can in fact reach exactly the same point of bliss as any one of those 20,000 souls who are supposedly going upon a spiritual journey.
Is there still a caller there, Don?
I'm sorry to have taken so long to answer that.
Yes, he's still here and he's online.
Okay.
And thank you for that answer.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with your answer. I truly do. I think that they were making more of a general of, like, waves on how many, and I think they have this outline of a timeline and then how many people they estimate will meet the critical, I guess, vibration at that time to ascend in waves.
But
and,
no
yes.
one can actually portray that because you do not actually understand or know where anyone is
correct.
At the point of their enlightenment or at the point of their
correct
beauty experience in their physical life. It may be millions of beings.
Yes, that's...
Who could actually say, point it down to this one little enclave of people, if you share this piece of paradise with me, I will let you be on this journey.
And it's not about knowledge, is it?
It isn't.
Yes, I understand. Okay, well, the caller's on, and I thank you.
Hi, Donald, Sylvie, everybody.
Hello,
hi.
How are you doing?
Hello,
hi, John.
John. Hello,
hi,
John.
Hi, Gregory, how are you doing?
Hello, I am very well, thank you.
Good. Gregory,
how is life in the north, friend?
It really warmed up today. It was a miracle. So it's getting a little bit more normal.
Good.
I'm so pleased to hear it.
Yes, you should come visit us sometime.
I have already been.
I know.
Of course, I'm just playing with you, yes.
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 But, you know, back to the subject, reincarnation has to do with dying. And Gregory, can you tell us about different cultures, their funeral processions, and do they mean anything? Are they very symbolic, or are they really silly? Which culture has the most symbolic funeral procession?
Symbolic?
Which means something.
Yes.
Which is a lesson, or...
Yes, I understand your point, friend. Now, of course, there are many symbolisms of cultural expression to do with reincarnation that perhaps, of course, in the traditional Chinese or Japanese way, it may well be that in order to perhaps sound bells or whatever, they are meeting with these expressions of past experience, that they too are able to perhaps share in it, in their experience of their ancestors, and so maybe even feel as though they have had a part of that life, which of course they may well have done because they are genetically and have been physically entwined with them, which is actually part of my statement in earlier work, that what they are in fact exhibiting and experiencing, perhaps in the when they are walking around certain religious places and they are sounding bells and gongs and that kind of thing, they are actually figuratively connecting with their ancestors. They are actually saying prayers for them, and perhaps in certain funeral rites that they have, that they actually express these connections in a very vivid and real way, that they are actually connecting with them solidly and will even feel them around them. So that doesn't mean to say that they necessarily think that they themselves have become a part of that life, but that they are actually perhaps more aware of the energies, and in connecting with prayers to those beings, that they are actually fulfilling their promises of love for them. I do feel, my friend, that most certainly there are cultures, perhaps Native American beings, who, for some cultures, would have left their physical states perhaps pinned up in trees or something like that, left hanging in trees for the birds to actually take elements of their flesh away. So perhaps helping the spirit of the loved one to depart to the spirit world. But of course, as many people may perhaps remember and acknowledge in their own physical life, that actually most Native American tribes people actually never ever believed in reincarnation at all, and actually freely acknowledge that their ancestors continue to live on in their peaceable way and continue to help them in that way. It may well be, perhaps, as we have to turn to, perhaps, other relationships, other religions. There are situations, of course, of different brotherhoods who will have different practices of where they think their loved ones are. And it may be that for some, yes, they will think that perhaps in the next child who is born of that village, that they will be the reincarnation of the person, the last person who passed. Because after all, it will be, for some religious thoughts, that reincarnation is something which happens, that has to happen within a certain time in physical life. Perhaps within 49 days, I believe, as the Buddhist...
One of them, yes.
Yes.
One of the theories.
One of the main religious theories are within Tibetan Buddhists, after all, that reincarnation has to happen within 49 days. Otherwise, the person would be condemned into the outer reaches of hell, or perhaps never have a chance to reincarnate again. So, and this, in fact, becomes quite a problem for these beings, because there actually is this sequestral of events of different states of what that being could have been entrapped by negatively in order to be in the outer reaches of hell as they are designed to be. So you would always have then that within this situation of Tibetan monks perhaps praying for the soul of that being to quickly reincarnate into the life of somebody else so that they do not have to spend eternity in this bhagran of world that they see as being a form of purgatory, I suppose. In which case, of course, they may well come back as a lesser being, as some other reincarnated form, perhaps as a dog or a cat or a toad or whatever. How many people have you seen in physical life that look like toads in any event?
Don't answer that, John.
I just thought I would raise the vibration a little.
Yeah. I'm very curious now about the Egyptian Book of the Dead. Would you consider that a holy book or a comic book?
I would consider it to be a holy book, most certainly, because it is full of different people's interpretations of their journey within the spirit life. After all, it is filled with the notions of the ark, which is the boat rowed by and brought into the shores of the spirit world, so that the perceived being who perhaps may transcend their mortal frequency is met by whatever gods or deities they are exalting at that particular point in their history. And so I would have to say that most certainly there are certain aspects to that particular book which are greatly spiritual and uplifting, perhaps to the physical beings of that time, because it gave them a sense of purpose and view of where they were actually heading in the spirit world. Not necessarily, of course, that it was a purist point of view, but it was their shared belief at that time. And understandable, because of the connotations of the dream state in which they held various aspects of their journey. The way these journeys actually helped and enthused their lives and actually created such wonder of the spirit world. But perhaps if they had truly believed all of it, then surely they would not have been so arbitrary about enslavement and the way in which other beings were used. Because after all, at the end of that period of time, it was all there to serve the gods and deities they so adored. That is not a criticism. It is the way of life, of their view and understanding.
Okay, John?
Can I just ask, is there any generalizations we can make about people who like to be social and with living people, as opposed to those who seem to be preoccupied with reading people who are deceased, who love literature from hundreds of years ago?
No.
Okay, I was just curious. May I also ask, are there ever elections on the other side?
Do you have elections on the other side?
Do you vote
yes,
on anything?
Well, as though you would have an enclave, perhaps, of 12 just beings or whatever.
Well, that's interesting,
to,
isn't it?
To hand out forms of judgment upon others. The problem is that human beings are, once again, and this is not a criticism of yourself, and I take the question with all of the seriousness in which you gave it, that, in fact, human beings have this preoccupancy with the state of hierarchy, with the levels of ascensioned being status that one must reach in order to transcend this level or that level. The level of physical life has to be transcended into the possibility or the realm of the ether world, or even beyond the ether world, into different dimensions or different states of awareness beyond the ether world. The point is that human beings fixated upon numbers and levels, as we had just talked of before in the previous subject with our dear friend, that the situation of someone creating a number or creating a year or an expression of time in physical life, saying this will happen in 4 years' time and this will happen in another 4 years' time, there will be 20,000 people here and other 20,000 people there, is picking a feeling or something of human physical communication which is tied and bound by physical communication, by the mechanics of physical life, nothing to do with the mechanics of spirit, nothing at all to do with the mechanics of the spirit world. So when you feel that there is this enclave of 12 or whatever it is, of different beings sitting in judgment upon others, perhaps the Council of 12 I have heard many times, well, that is merely an opinion, that is saying that there are this number of beings who are transcended above all others, and we are acknowledging that this is something which hands down, doles out, gives you, if perhaps they deem it possible to give you information and knowledge if you are able to take it. That merely brings to the point that still from a human physical point of view and from the point of view of the Council of 12, who still regard themselves in the same manner, I would have to say, as having ascended themselves to that post and that alacrity, that they are in fact diminishing themselves by their own energy of admittance. I am of the Council of 12, then you must be a lesser being. I don't want to talk to you. Because if you say that you are of this group or that group, I understand you. We of the White Cloud group are any number of beings. We are not of a finite individual. We are not of a strict and formed persona. We are all beings of all races, of all descriptions, species, throughout the universe. Many, many beings. Thousands. Who come and go, who take part and then leave again, move on to somewhere else. That is the nature of the spirit world. Transcendence, movement from one bounty to another, from one immersion to another. Not inversion, as some would have it. Perhaps we should talk of that at a later time. The theory of inversion. That for some reason you have to have an ascended being and that once you reach ascendance, you are then an inverted being, as you have to come down again. For some reason, human beings think that this applies to them because they are applying human fallibility. They are implying that the physical state is something which continues in the spirit world, when in fact it does not. It just shows the perception of human mind to perceive only that which is physical, that must be replicated in the spirit world. Not in fact that the spirit world is a realm of complete possibility and difference to that which is physical.
Okay.
With love, we leave you at this time, friend.
Okay, thank you. Let us walk in love.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, John. Okay, thanks, Gregory.
With love and light, friend.
Okay.
Be bountiful upon your journey of progress.
Okay, wow. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks, Don, for letting us run over. That was great. Don't forget, we've got Akashic Readings. You can find out all about the things that we offer, our services, on our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. I say we do Akashic Readings, we do geophysical stress, ley line surveys, where Spirit will go and survey your property for you if you feel that you have any problems. We do animal health diagnostics, where Gregory and the team will go and visit you. So basically, just do get in touch with us. We do. We can see that if you've got any paranormal activity in your house, if you feel that you are having any hauntings or anything like that, we can do that as well. Gregory and the team can come and survey your property, and we can give you a diagnostic service on that. So there's lots of things you can find out about us on our site. It's spirit-teaching.com. And as well as Spirit's work on the wonderful bbsradio.com on Mondays and Thursdays, we also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. Thank you so much for listening and your wonderful phone calls, and thank you to Don for joining in. My name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.